I want to welcome you to the worship here this morning, and we're glad you're here. Kind of a little bit of a different worship morning. You should have gotten a card when you came in. Mine's torn. It looks like this. It's got a wheat field on one side and then some text on the opposite side. I want to get you to take a moment and look at this card with me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything with the card just yet, but I want you to look at it with me. On the left side, it's got a few different scriptures, and we've been looking at these scriptures for the past couple of months. And it says at the bottom there, "I desire to share the peace, joy, and love that I have attained in Christ Jesus. I want the people in my life to know God, and I'm ready to take the next step in my walk with God. I will share my faith with the people in my life." Last week, we introduced this idea. We started talking about evangelism. And I told you last week I was going to challenge you this week to come up with, pardon me, one person. I don't want you to get to have all these intimidating ideas in your head about evangelism. I just want you to think of one person who is close to you, who you work with, who is a family member, who you interact with regularly through social activities. One person in your life who has seen you in your walk with God. Just one person. I hope you've kind of been thinking about that one person. And what I want to challenge you to do this coming 2012, starting now, of course, but throughout the course of 2012, is I want you to reap the harvest with this person. Jesus says in the text that we've looked at in Matthew chapter 9, verse 34, 35, 36, at the end of those verses there, Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. I'm challenging you. Be a worker and reap the harvest. Chances are, with this person who you're thinking of, the seed has already been planted. If you know them well, they've probably already been talking to you. They've seen your life and the way you've lived it for Christ. They've been watching what it means to be a Christian. The seed has been planted. All you have to do is reap the harvest. So that leads us to the second part of the card. If you'd like, you can tear it off now. You don't need to, but it's perforated so that you can tear it. Next week, I'm going to ask you to turn this in. So it's kind of important that you hold on to it. Stick it in your Bible, in your wallet, or your purse. And if you would like to turn it in today, you certainly may do so. The second part of the card, it says Harvest 2011, November 6, 2011. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." That's what we're going to do today. Well, I'm asking you, and then we're going to pray together for this. The name, the blank where it says name, that is for you to write your name. It says, "I am committed to sharing my faith. The name of my friend or loved one is," and of course you just write that person's name in. Please check the appropriate boxes. I would like prayers. Next Sunday we're going to pray for the people who check this box. I would like prayers for me and the person I will share my faith with. If you check this box, this is what will happen. Myself and one or two other gentlemen will be up here together as a family, and we will call you by name and call on the Lord to help you when you share your faith. And we will call by name the person that you've determined to share your faith with. And we're going to start praying for you and this individual. And it won't be a one-time thing. The shepherds and myself, we meet once a month at the first Sunday of every month. And we're going to call you by name and beseech God and plead with God to help you, to open doors, give you opportunities, give you the strength you need, to impress it upon your heart, to give you a burden and a desire to share. You're going to be prayed for if you check that box and you let us know. The second box, I would like prayers for me and the person I will share my faith with, but I'd rather it not be public. So in that case, it would just be the shepherds and myself praying for you. The third box, I'm committed to sharing my faith with a specific person, but I would prefer for it to remain anonymous. That's perfectly fine. It may be a sensitive issue. You may just be uncomfortable with it being out in the open. Perfectly fine. And the fourth box, is I would like for the preacher or the shepherds or someone else to contact the person I am sharing my faith with to help me, to kind of maybe come behind me and maybe do some teaching. It could be for many different reasons. And so you would provide their contact information. You don't necessarily need to provide all three, but definitely just one way of contacting this person. If you have this person in mind, you've been thinking about it. I did talk with a couple of you after last Sunday. Do it now. Just write it down. And stick it in the basket that's going to come around for the gospel chariot. That's going to come around in just a few minutes. Just throw it in that basket and we'll pick it up. I can't urge you enough, exhort you enough, as we talked about last week, to be serious about this. God has prepared for some of us to have the gift of evangelism, but He's called all of us to be evangelistic, to share our faith with others. There's no way around that call. No matter how intimidated you are by it, no matter how much it might scare you, you are called by Christ to do it. We're here to equip you, to encourage you, and to enable you to do that. And that's part of our vision. And this is one of the ways that we want to help do that. So I'm going to give you just a moment to do this. We're going to have a prayer, and then we'll have our regular time of worship. And then during my briefer sermon, we're going to have another time of prayer to pray as Jesus instructed us to call upon the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So while you're filling in this card or considering it, let me ask you to pause for a moment and pray with me. Father God, we call on you. We know who you are. And Father, I just pray that we would all know what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. Father, this morning we focus ourselves on you. We give you our thoughts, we give you our minds, and we give you our praise. And Father, today as we are a family and we're gathered together, help us to focus our minds on sharing our faith, on perhaps learning something about it, being convicted to do it, drawing closer to you so that we feel your pain for those around us. Whatever it is, Father, whatever urging or pushing we need, please give it to us this morning. Above all, Father, help us to realize that we're all lost sinners. And the only difference between us and other people is that we found you. We reached out our hand and we took hold of it. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so very much for being our Lord. And Father, for all the times that we stray away and we pick up other idols, Father, we ask so humbly for your forgiveness. But Father, for just this hour, I pray that you would help us to focus on you, to put all our energy and attention and efforts into praising you, to worshiping you, and to learning more about you. Father, hear our prayer now in Christ's name. Amen. And I mentioned it. I'm sorry. I take another moment. Today is the collection for the Gospel Chariot. And as it was mentioned last week, I believe, they've kind of upped their level of ministry. They've bought a third truck or vehicle. So our money that we're donating is doing some good there. So we are going to take up that collection. And again, as those baskets come around while we sing, if you have the card filled out and you want to drop it in today, please do so. Just drop it in that basket. Thank you.
Every time we sing this song, I feel the excitement of the harvest, the excitement of hay baling, maybe with the clouds and the thunder in the sky, and you're working really hard to get the last load in. Somehow I just feel that as we sing this song. Far and near, 248.
Let's pray. Our wonderful Father in heaven, we're thankful to be here today to worship you, to praise you for being the creator of all things and our Father who loves us and cares for each and every one of us. You want us to know the peace that comes with knowing Christ. We see so much around us in the world and what the world produces. Instead of peace, we see chaos, Instead of love, we see anger. Instead of contentment, we see envy. We can see the fruits of the world and its harvest, and we can compare that with your fruits, and it's so superior and so obvious to us. Sometimes it's hard to understand how people can't see it. We know that we need to help them see it. Please be with us in our efforts. Please be with us this morning as we study your word, as we rededicate our lives to you in bringing others to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning will be 1 John 4, 1 through 6. That's on page 1220. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already come into the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Right. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be looking at those few verses there that we started looking at last week. While you do that, I forgot to do this. This is what I meant to do. I completely forgot to do it. That's how my brain works. If you didn't get a card when you came in, we have those available, and we have a couple of young men who are going to pass them out. Please raise your hand now if you need a card. We do have a couple. Okay. Guys, who has those cards right here? Okay. Just hold your hand up there, and these young men will get you a card. And we'll give them just a minute to get them passed out. Just go ahead and hold your hand up there for them so they can get it to you. And the way this is going to work, let me just make sure I explained it well. It's perforated for you so you can tear it apart. The bigger part will come to me or us next week or this week if you have it. The smaller part is meant for you just as a reminder. Have some scriptures there for you to consider and to reflect on. You could use it as a bookmark. Just keep it in your Bible, and it'll be just a good reminder for you. So again, if you have this ready and you're ready to turn it in, you didn't turn it in, you thought more about it, just hand it to me as you leave. We want to get as many of these turned in. I kind of have a number in mind. I'm looking for 75% return. We'll see what happens. That's a large return on investment, so we'll see what happens. But I'm looking for 75% of these turned in. Matthew chapter 9. Let's read these verses again together. We read them and studied them last week. Matthew 9, verse 32. Let's start at 32 together. Matthew 9:32. Matthew writes there, as they were going out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees were saying, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, and he was teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." This is a powerful set of few verses here. We learn a lot from these verses. And like I said, last week we started looking at some of the points that we can draw from it out of the first couple of verses. I want to focus on the last two for just a few minutes this morning. And we're going to have another time of prayer, asking the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. But we got to remember what's going on here. That Jesus is in the middle of his ministry, and he's facing one difficulty after another. It's just one thing after another for him. No matter how he tries to minister to people, somebody's upset about it. And yet, through all of that, his vision, the reason he came to earth, remains crystal clear as day one when he started his ministry. Because he saw the people who were distressed and dispirited, and he had compassion on them. He saw the people who were living through the effects of sin. And that's what it's talking about when it talks about being distressed and dispirited. We can't avoid the effects of sin. We can't avoid it. If sin gets in your life, it's going to create negative effects for us. And that's what Jesus saw in these people. And regardless of all the pushback that he got, he never wavered from his vision. He never got discouraged, and he never, ever once thought about stopping, even though he could have. And so he understands. Jesus had his plan completely laid out for him, and he understood fully what he was going to need to do. And he understood that his time was going to come to an end. He only had so much time for his ministry. And what's so neat about it is that for all the work he did for other people, for all the healing, for all the preaching that he did, preaching the kingdom of God being at hand, all the whole time he was preparing his followers to continue his work when he was gone. And so that's why he said to his disciples in verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I want to take just a moment to look at a couple lessons that we can learn from these few statements that Jesus made. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Something that is very intimidating for us when we think of evangelism is failure. It just is. If we could get to the point where we're going to share our faith with someone, there's really few things that are worse than having a door shut in our face, either literally or figuratively. It can be very discouraging. It can be very downtrodden for us. And it can push us away from wanting to do it again. And I think it's because of that fear that a lot of times we avoid doing it, because we just don't know how people will respond. And like we talked about in class this morning, our culture has evolved into such a point where it's not proper to invade someone's personal space when it comes to their faith. It just isn't. That's not something that we talk about. It's not something that's considered normal to talk about. So if we invade someone's personal space, and I use the space word figuratively, and we ask them about their walk with God, we're crossing over a boundary marker that culture has set up for us. And when we cross over into that boundary marker, and when we violate that space, when we ask and get into people's personal business with their families, or we get into people's personal business with their finances or their spiritual life, that boundary marker has been violated, and people react differently to it. They really do. And so because of that, because we're aware of that, it scares us away from it. But see, here's what I want us to consider for just a moment. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful." The harvest is plentiful. Now, I'm no farmer, and I know next to nothing about what a harvest is, what it means to harvest, or what it even looks like to harvest. As a matter of fact, I couldn't tell you when a corn stalk is ready to be harvested or not. But what I do know is that when the Bible tells me that the harvest is plentiful, it means simply this, that there are people in my life right now who are ready to hear the gospel. It doesn't mean that I have to go and plant new seed and plant new seed and plant new seed. It doesn't mean that I have to labor and labor and labor and not see any results. That's not what that is saying. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there are a lot of people in your life who are ready to respond to the gospel. As best I can understand, and as we talked about it in class, harvest simply means is that the crop is ready to be picked. It's ready to be collected and taken in. We're talking about harvesting people. And Jesus said that the harvest is ready for us. Now, something we talked about, I'm referring back to Bible class this morning quite a bit. And if you weren't in class, one of the things that we mentioned is talking about our spheres of influence. So if you could, just imagine a circular diagram. Put yourself in the center of that circle. And in that first circle that surrounds you is your first sphere of influence. These are your coworkers. These are your family members. These are your very close friends. Now, I'm going to challenge you for just a moment and suggest something to you. If you've been living your life as a mature Christian, as a mature disciple, if you've been living in such a way that people can see your relationship with Christ, then those are the people who are ready for harvest. Those are the people who, without even knowing it, you have been planting seeds in their life simply by watching you live yours. Those are the people who are ready for harvest. It's from those people that I hope you will select your one person. Because if we live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit, trying our best to honor and glorify the Lord, that can't help but shine a light onto the people around us. It can't help. We couldn't avoid it if we tried. Because when we live for Christ, they see Christ in us. And when they see Christ in us, I promise you, they're going to be infected and wanting to know what Christ is about. It's contagious. You can't get around it. And so when Jesus says to us that the harvest is plentiful, he's not talking about some grand abstract number. He's not talking about some intimidating idea of going to someone you don't know, knocking on their door randomly and wanting to introduce them to Christ. He's not even talking about someone you see regularly and saying, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus." When he says the harvest is plentiful, he's talking about the people who love you, who you love, who you spend a lot of time with, the people who know you, who know what you're about, who've seen you in action, so to speak. Those are the people who are ready for harvest. And then he goes on and he says to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." That's kind of a sad, disappointing statement. And I can't help but wonder what kind of emotion Jesus felt when he said that. The workers are few. I want to think that he was excited, that he was energetic and encouraged to say, the workers are few, but you can add to that list. You can be one more for me. But sometimes I wonder, kind of just if there wasn't a tidbit of discouragement in Jesus' voice when he said the workers are few. When he looked around and saw the people who were following him, who, when it came time to tell others about him, they succumbed to the cultural pressures. To the pressure that the Pharisees and the scribes were exerting. I can't help but wonder what he thinks when he looks on me and you when he says the workers are few. Because 2,000 years ago, the workers were few. 2,000 years later, the workers are still few. We need more. We need you. And see, this is what it comes down to. It's not about programs. It's not about neat, fancy gimmicks or tricks or ideas. That's not what we're about. We're about living a contagious life that infects other people with the Holy Spirit. We're about sharing our faith just in the course of our normal life. We're not about coming up with great big plans and ideas. We're just about being Christ-like and letting that rub off on people. We're about encouraging, enabling, and equipping us to live out our walk with Christ. We want to encourage, enable, and equip. You'll find those three words in our vision statement. And this card is just one small way to do that. It's encouraging you, I hope, and maybe opening a door and enabling you to give you an opportunity to do what God has called you to do. Because the reality is that the workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. Let's change that. Let's just throw it all up in the air and change it. And let's say the workers are now plentiful. Because we've got a family that's on fire for God, that is passionately living out their faith in such a way that everyone is around us is looking to us, wanting to know what it is about us that makes us so different, that makes us so special, that makes us so happy and so full of joy and peace, even though life keeps hitting us like it's hitting them. But yet we respond differently. Let's live our lives in such a way that we attract instead of push away people who need Christ. And so Jesus goes on. He's presented this opportunity. You might say a need. You might say a problem. I say an opportunity. The harvest is plentiful. There's a small little problem. There's only a few workers. We need more. And so Jesus said, there's that word, therefore. And again, I've said it a few times. Anytime you see the word therefore, know that it's there for a reason. He says, therefore, here's this small little problem that I will help you overcome. Here's how you overcome it. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. Because see, I understand this reality full well. I am nowhere near equipped enough to encourage you enough to go and share your faith. I can't do it. I don't have enough skill, talent, or ability, or the words to say them in an effective way. I can't do it. We couldn't come up with enough neat ideas, programs, gimmicks, tricks, whatever you want to call it, to get you to share your faith. The only thing that's going to get you to actively, aggressively, passionately share your faith is your love for Jesus Christ. And understanding that everyone around you needs Him just as much as you do. That is what will convict you to share your faith with the people in your life who need Him. Not any fancy words, because you'll have long forgotten this sermon by the time you eat lunch. But you will not forget Jesus on the cross. And you will not forget the empty space next to you as you kneel before Him. The workers are few. And there's too many empty spaces at the foot of the cross, because the harvest is plentiful. And so what we're going to do is simply this. As a family, we're going to call on God. And we're going to ask Him to convict us and to place in our hearts a desire to share Him. And we're going to rely and trust on Him to work in our lives and to work on us and mold us from the inside out and remake us, continuing to sanctify us, turning Him, us, into who He wants us to be. And at the more and more and more that we grow, and the more we begin to look like Jesus, the more we're naturally going to share our faith. The more we mature spiritually, the more that's going to radiate out. And so that's what we're going to pray for. No fancy words, nothing like that. Nothing trying to guilt you into anything. Nothing to pull emotion out of you to get a response. Just relying on the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So I want to ask Bill to come and pray for us, that He will send out workers into the harvest.
Father in heaven, we are so indebted to You, knowing of Your tremendous love, Your graciousness, and Your grace. We thank You that You have made us workers, and You have given us abilities to show to others who You are, We ask at this time that you will be with us, and in your marvelous wisdom, help us to share your Son and the love with someone else. We seek your strength. We hope to encourage each other that through you, we can do it all. We just pray that, and we know how you help us. Sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes you put a challenge in front of our lives. Sometimes we fail. We ask you to help us to pick up our feet and walk towards you always. And if we fail, pick us up, lead us forward. We're so grateful to you and the opportunity that we have to share with others. Thank you, Father, for all that you have given us. And we just thank you for your Son. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a moment. I want to put a mental picture. I want to give you a picture to think about. Draw a picture with me. As best as you can draw it in your mind, picture a cross with Jesus on it. We've got different paintings that we've seen of how Christ looked, and you know, there's been some historical things discovered that may or may not have been a towel that he used and different things, but we've all got an image of what he might have looked like through someone else's vision. But just grab your own image of Christ, however he might look hanging on the cross. And imagine us, our family, surrounding the cross. Now imagine an empty spot next to you. Who needs to be there with you? There's an empty spot at the cross. You're there. Some of your family's there. Some of your loved ones might be there. But there's an empty spot waiting to be filled by your loved one, by your friend, by the person you work with, work next to every day, and have been doing so for years, that you've come to love and appreciate a great deal. And you've come to trust them and respect them and their friendship that you have. That spot might be waiting for them. That spot might be waiting for one of your children. We've all got an empty spot next to us as we kneel at the cross. I want to encourage you. Find that one person. Drag them there. Pull them there. Push them there. Plead, beg, urge, exhort, encourage, whatever it is that God puts on your heart to do to get them to fill that empty spot. There's too much room. There's too much room at the foot of the cross. We got to fill those spots up. Let's pray together. Father, our last prayer right now, focusing on the harvest. Father, I pray for conviction. I pray that you would move in our lives. Pray that your Spirit would overcome us and overwhelm us with joy and peace and happiness. And I pray that by being overwhelmed with those things of you, they would spill over and fall onto those that surround us. Father, I pray for an open door for each one of us this morning. I pray for one open door, God, that you would give us the power and the strength to walk through. Just one, Father. Just one open door. Give us one person to grab hold of, to wrap our arms around, and to share you with. Father, send us out. Send us out knowing that you'll do the work. All we got to do is take the first step. Father, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, let's be standing. Let's sing a song together that's meant to encourage us and to plead, push, convict, pull us into a greater relationship with our Savior. Your shepherds are ready to pray with you. We're ready to receive you publicly. If you would like to confess sins, ask for prayers from your family, be loved on, encouraged, and exhorted. Whatever you need, let's take care of those needs now.